Thanks for listening to the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight, 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend Mike Harmon.
Oh!
Live from the Geico Studios where, well, I'll say this for Thursday Night Football. I gotta think it's better than the debate. No, I know it's Giants-Eagles. I get it. Look, it's Giants-Eagles. You can only say so much. It's Giants-Eagles. But what we've seen in the past few minutes has to be better than the debate. Because what I'm gathering for the debate, I haven't had a chance to see it yet because we're doing the show going back, is that it was one of those debates where you saw the debate you wanted to see. If you wanted to see Biden do well, you saw Biden do well. If you wanted to see Trump do well, you saw Trump do well. So you really didn't get any much of a game changer from either candidate. That seems to be what the going is on social media. But in this game tonight, Mike, we have a football folly for the ages. We have an upset fan base who is going to rise up against Doug Peterson following a couple of crazy-ass decisions that he made in the past few minutes. And at least if it's Giants-Eagles and the potential battle for first place in the NFC East, at least we have some entertainment on a Thursday night, which really is all you can ask for. Because if we talked about last night that sports are television shows, and you got to remember that in the end, the more entertaining a show is, the more people are going to watch. Yeah, I guarantee you, viewership of this game spiked after people started hearing about what Daniel Jones did and tuned in and saw Doug Peterson scratching your head going, dude, you throw the challenge flag. I mean, certain things are happening. It's okay. This has been a pretty fun television show, I have to say.
Yeah, you've had it all, and you've got an upset brewing. You got the Giants presumed to just lose this game, right? Let's face it. I picked them with the spread. Thought they could win, given a couple of pretty decent showings, but still expected better red zone efficiency and operational efficiency overall from Doug Peterson's crew, which we have not seen at all outside of that first possession. It's just been a comedy of errors, but it's football, right? It's the best live drama that you can find no matter what you're going through, right? No matter what your reality TV show love is. Pick a show. I don't watch a ton of reality TV show. So, mm-hmm. But it seems to me people are still talking about the same shows that were on and pacing when I did. And that's a number of years ago. So come on, people, get new ideas. Come up with new characters or something. But what we've had in this game, Philadelphia coming in, Carson Wentz under fire, right? Is he ever going to be the guy? People calling for his ouster, saying, he should be benched, and let's see Jalen Hurts, who we see as creeping in, kind of that Taysom Hill thing starting to happen a little bit, except he's not really been under center just yet, but that time is coming. But you've got a bad running game, you got a porous offensive line, you've got some inexplicable red zone decisions. It's got all the things you want to love if you're a Giants fan, and to hate watch if you're an Eagles fan.
You got everything.
This gives you everything you need. And it's still one of 256.
Yes, that's true. It is. Look, you have a finite number of good television shows, and so far this has been a good TV show. The Giants have the lead right now, 21-10, 6 minutes to go in the fourth quarter. This game could be a little bit closer, should be closer, if not for two decisions that Doug Peterson made. That one, maybe it's more just me than anybody else, and the other one, well, I know the Eagles fans are never going to forgive him for this. So it's a 13-10 game, or a 14-10 game, rather. Giants have the lead over the Eagles, and the Eagles decide to go for it on fourth down from inside the Giants' 10-yard line. Right now, this is a pretty big decision right here. They have the ball at the 3-yard line, and going for it, I like the decision to go for it. It's you know, hey, going for it here, why not? Right now, selfishly, I'd like Jake Elliott to come out and kick a field goal because we're starting him in fantasy, you and I. But I get this. I'm not going to, you know, foist more fantasy beliefs on this. And what play do they run? With fourth and goal from the three, let's throw a fade to a guy we haven't thrown the football to all night.
Wentz lines them up.
Wow.
They're gambling. Empty backfield. Wentz is lobbing it, and it is incomplete, and no flag. He threw it for Hakeem Butler. Hakeem Butler, who you've hardly heard, and he put it up there, and yeah. Butler couldn't come down with it.
Hakeem Butler was with the Arizona Cardinals and got cut.
He was. He was.
Second-year guy.
You hear Merrill Reese on the Eagles radio network basically saying, Hakeem, I had to look it up. This was, first of all, you throw a fade. And I can't tell you, I've told you for years how much I can't stand the fade.
No,
it's the worst play call on offense you possibly have. Because what you do is you turn a play into a 50-50 play. And when you're 3 yards from the goal line, hey, the defense is going to say, oh, give us that all day, all day. We'll take a 50-50 play on fourth down. They run a fade to Hakeem Butler, who they had thrown to zero times on the night. This is they're not throwing to Travis Fulgham, who is their hottest wide receiver, and I think he's got about 13 targets tonight so far. He's having a pretty big night with like 75 yards receiving. No, we're going to throw the fade, the worst play call ever, and we're going to throw it to a guy that we haven't thrown to all
night. Well, they wouldn't expect it.
No, don't cover that guy. We're not going to throw to him. Forget it.
They're not even looking at him.
I mean, that just doesn't make any sense, and I don't get it. But I get that, okay, maybe that's a me part of it because I just can't stand the fade so much. But clearly, that could have been a game-changing play. That could have made it 17-14 Eagles, or it could have been a field goal at least would make it 14-13. So the Eagles don't score. The Giants start driving down the field, and the Giants are threatening. They have a 3rd and 9 at the 12-yard line. And the Giants throw a pass that comes up short of the first down. However, it is marked a first down on the field.
Yeah.
Replays clearly show this would not have been a first down.
No, he crumpled short.
Yeah, and you're forcing the Giants into a 4th and about a half yard, okay? So this is one of those things where you throw the challenge flag, right? It's an easy thing. Well, I think he was short. There's so many people telling Doug Pitt, oh, it might be short, might be short. And he waits too long to throw the challenge flag. The Giants run up to the line of scrimmage, and Deion Lewis gets 3 yards on, or gets a yard and a half on first down. And they tell Doug Peterson, you didn't throw the challenge flag in time. I mean, just the fact that a team is running up to run a play, that should be the big thing that tells you, hey, guess what? Let's throw the challenge flag. If they're running up, because if they're sure they got the first down, they're not running. We're near the goal line now, and we want to make sure we're running the right play. If they're, you know, and so he doesn't get the challenge flag out in time, and they give the first down to the Giants, and 2 plays later, it's a touchdown pass to Shepard, and now it's a 21-10 lead for the Giants. So now make it a 21-16 lead for the Giants. It looks like a touchdown pass to Greg Ward.
Yeah, potential ejection coming out for this one. There was a bit of a scuffle on the back end.
Yeah, there's flags on the play. We're watching as it happens right now. We'll keep you updated on that part of it, but
big
it looks
play
like
to
it's
that.
Going to be a touchdown.
Yeah, big play on the drive, a 59-yard lollipop that falls into the arms of John Hightower. Who? He is a 5th-round pick out of Boise State.
So that's where we sit right now with this game. And it's 21-16, depending on how this penalty flag goes, and they're probably going to wind up going for 2 with 4.5 minutes left to go. But this play with the challenge flag, I mean, look, already Doug Peterson has lost patience with the Eagles fan base because the team that went from winning the Super Bowl in 2017, they have not gotten better. Carson Wentz has not gotten better, and he's really on the hot seat. And anytime you lose a game, a nationally televised game, it's twice as worse for you as when you lose on an anonymous Sunday. And Peterson made these two big things that just happened in the span of the last few minutes. You know, the fade call, I don't get. I don't understand why people still like that, but the challenge play, I mean, that's a play where clearly the Giants would have had to thought about going for it. They would have had to think about do we want to kick a field goal, and suddenly maybe the Giants don't have 21 and the Eagles are going to try to take the lead or tie the game at this point instead of going to try to bring themselves within 3. So it's like the Eagles cost themselves at least 4 points on offense there, and they cost themselves at least 4 points on defense by not challenging that call, and that's all going to be on Doug Peterson. Peterson. You want to talk about guys that are going to be at the head of the line to get fired? Yes, we talk about Adam Gase being a near certainty. You want to put Mike McCarthy in that conversation? Could be one and done because things are bad for the Cowboys. But you're going to wind up putting Doug Peterson up there, and you're going to say, okay, so a Super Bowl champion buys you 3 years because you have not seen the team get better since they won the Super Bowl. They have not validated. They have not gotten back to that level. And clearly, this is a point where, is Carson Wentz going to get any better? They gave him all this money. Are all these things going to happen with Doug Peterson? And when you make decisions like this and you do something like, we don't get the challenge flag out in time and it costs us, this is one of those mistakes that you can't forgive. That's okay, no matter what. Sometimes if you make mistakes, you do something wrong, it's all right, well, there were some variables going on in this and we didn't get this. And sometimes even begrudgingly you have to admit, all right, maybe that wasn't all on Doug Peterson. No, this is all completely on Doug Peterson. You got to get that challenge flag out. You can't cost your team tangible points on the field by saying this would have been -3 points for the Giants or -4 points for the Giants or +3 points for the Eagles. You can't have that happen.
Yeah, I got to at least make the decision, right, and be emphatic about it. It's a one score game, right? You're trying to keep it where it's at, and certainly we know most games finished at 7 points or fewer, and you're able to put down a huge drive here, but that's going to stand out. I would say the first person in the firing line though in Philadelphia has got to be the training staff and anybody that whose job it is to get these guys ready to play on a given Sunday or Thursday night or Monday night. I don't mean coaching them up. I just mean whatever the duct tape is. And last year it worked, right? Because you were still able to escape despite all the issues. It's now a personnel question, right? Peterson's got to be able to go and demand more than, hey, my number one and number two are DeSean Jackson and Alshon Jeffrey. Hey, are they getting on the field? Right, and they handed the ball off to DeSean Jackson, and it was funny. I was on my way here to the Geico studios. I was just pulling in as that play went off. I was like, hey, they're going to try to get him involved. Look, it's DeSean Jackson. And Ross Tucker started laughing. He goes, I don't know how long. Just kind of, you know, hey, get him involved. Get him the ball. He's out there. You know, that kind of thing. And he's been, you know, unheard from since. So you're trying to find somebody to step up, and Fulgham's been a tremendous find, right? How much is that him versus Wentz, recognizing there's some talent there and pushing the ball, as you mentioned before, into double digit targets. So yeah, Peterson's gonna have to explain that decision and that play call earlier, but overall there's so much else going on in Philadelphia. I don't know that you're ready to call him the fall guy just yet.
Eagles fail to get the two-point conversion. Carson Wentz is stopped on his run, so make it a 21-16 Giants lead with just over 4.5 minutes left to go in the fourth quarter. So if that kind of entertainment would normally be enough on Thursday Night Football. However, now there's also this from earlier in the game and really is going to be the only topic of conversation that we're going to hear post-game from Daniel Jones and Joe Judge and Mark Sanchez because of this play.
Handoff. Nope, Jones is going to keep it. Jones is going to run it. Jones across midfield. It's a foot race. Can he go all the way? Daniel Jones to the 20 and he stumbles and he falls down at the 10.
The turf monster got him. Stumbling, rumbling, bumbling, and he falls down.
You know what's great about that call? Is that they laugh with it, because you could totally see it going the other way. What the? How does that happen? There's nobody around him, et cetera, et cetera.
WFAN on the call. Everybody's laughing. We're throwing out there what you could possibly call this, right? Because this needs a nickname.
Yeah,
right? You have the butt fumble. That was pretty easy. So I've been thinking the last few minutes, and I keep thinking like, you know, a giant fall or the fall of Jones or something else. And somebody on Twitter, I want to give credit to him, Jay Tucker said, I like Danny Dives. And I was like, oh, now that's pretty cool, because Daniel Jones' nickname is Danny Dimes. Now, if he's not a starting quarterback in the NFL, he's going to lose that nickname. So I'm wondering if this is maybe a little too inside football, but I kind of like Danny Dives. That's a pretty good. You want to call the play Danny Dives? I'm okay with that.
All right, we got a couple more. We got our buddy UCLA Dodger Frank in honor of Phil Collins, who we talked about in his situation.
Oh, boy.
Quote, the invisible touch.
Ah. Yeah, but I don't think in the history of the world people are going to remember that this happened around the same time Phil can't get back into his house. So
It's a great song, and you can really bug out to it.
It is, but it's one of those moment in times where, and the reason it's called The Invisible is because at this time, boy, there was a crazy story about Phil Collins not being back. I kind of dig that a bit, but I think it's got to be simple. Danny dives, yes, because he kind of dives. There's a lot of, oh, the sniper got him or turf monster, and I'm like, eh, okay. The more I think about it, I think Danny dives is kind of cool.
The Marty McFly.
But again, that doesn't really have a reference other than it's from a movie. You know, Danny Dives is about him and his nickname, and from Danny Dimes to Danny Dives. I'm going to give my seal of approval to Danny Dives. I'm going to give my seal to that.
You
one
like
right
that
there.
One?
Yeah.
Okay.
We'll still take.
Yeah,
listen,
no,
Twitter
keep
at How About a Fresca?
In. Yeah.
Yeah, Twitter at How About a Fresca, Mike at Swollen Dome. We'll still take all of them, but right now I got to say Danny Dives is the leader in the clubhouse. I like a lot, but Danny Dives, I think, is the leader.
Okay, you can have that one. I'm all on Phil Collins.
You're all in Invisible Touch.
And Phil saw it all.
Okay. Twitter at How About a Fresca, Mike at Swollen Dome. The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon live from the Geico Studios. Giants have the lead 21-16. They also have the football at the 43-yard line with just under 3 minutes left to go. The Eagles do have two timeouts, so still a little bit of ways to navigate.
Yeah, Jason Garrett working some magic.
A quick reminder, when a train hits a vehicle at a railway crossing, the results are often deadly. Be cautious at crossings, and if the signals are going, don't be tempted to try and sneak across the tracks, even if you don't see a train. Stop, because trains can't. Brought to you by NHTSA. Tyshirt, this is not Invisible Touch.
It's invisible to you.
How do you not have Invisible Touch?
I got this. But how do you not have a better name for the play?
All you had to do was get off your Foods I Love and their caloric intake website and just type in Invisible Touch, and the song would have come up.
Okay, it's called Top 7 Alkaline Foods, and no, I'm doing this one.
I'm responding to a blog on alkaline foods.
I own the blog!
But Harmon said Invisible Touch, so it makes sense we'd hear Invisible Touch.
Jay, really?
You would be the worst DJ in the world. Somebody would call and they would say, do you take requests? Yeah, sure. Okay, can you play Guns N' Roses, Welcome to the Jungle? Sure, what's your name? Tom. Tom, I'll get it out for you right now. Tom hangs up, listens to the radio, and you would get on and say, hey, and here's request music for Tom. It's Poison. Talk dirty to me. Here, and you would go, that's not the song I requested.
I would at least get the artist right, okay?
Okay, all right. That's fine. That's fine. Ellie, you did get Phil Collins right. You did get Phil
Thank
Collins
you.
Right. I will say, all right, that's very... Do you know who Phil Collins is, by the way?
I have no idea.
Okay. He was the former singer of Bread, if you know that.
Oh! Big,
yeah, he sang for Bread.
I thought he was a guy in the Warriors movie.
No. He was in Nighthawks with Stallone.
Oh, got it.
Yeah,
get out!
Very good. All right. Coming up next, we got more on this game and more big news out of the NFL as... Well, let me just say this. I think I know what the NFL strategy is now going to be in regards to COVID-19. We may not like it, but I think I know what it's going to be. That's coming up next, Fox.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon.
Hey, buddy.
And proving to you that the NFC East is really what you think it is, in a game in which Doug Peterson has made all kinds of crazy mistakes, Daniel Jones falls down in the best blooper the NFL has seen since the butt fumble, the Eagles have a chance to win this game or at least go ahead in the final minute. Now, the Giants had the football near midfield. They had a 21-16 lead. However, they couldn't roll out the clock, so now the Eagles have the football after taking over after a Giants punt, and they are driving, and they are inside the Giants' 10-yard line. Carson Wentz has gotten them down the field pretty fast. Big pass interference penalty helped, and now they are inside the 10 facing a second and goal with just under a minute left to go. The Eagles could pull this victory out, or they could take the lead in the Giants. I mean, look, it's the NFC East. It's a fun one television show on Thursday night. It's like, hey, I'm watching the new episode of Cheers or Seinfeld or whatever else when NBC had must-see TV Thursday. You know, whatever else you're watching. Hey, it's just like watching a fun episode of television. It's not going to change your life, but boy, it's going to be fun for a little bit. And I got to say, after the atrocious first half in this game, which was really atrocious, this game got kind of fun. Daniel Jones's run and slip and fall and Doug Peterson's adventures. Now, at least we have something close near the end of the game.
Philadelphia dominated the first half, but you wouldn't know it by the scoreboard, just 10-7. The sequence here, you mentioned the Giants' last possession. Daniel Jones threw a ball for Evan Engram. I don't know that he's thrown a better ball this year. Off Ingram's fingertips. I kept hearing in my head, you blew it! And then coming back the other way, you get the pass interference call on Bradbury where their feet get tangled. Like, you didn't push him. There's nothing there. But you call and extend. And a big play to Rodgers had started the possession as well, a 30-yarder. So actually two for 41 to Rodgers right off the jump around the two-minute warning. So here we are inside of a minute. Fantastic finishes. Joe Judge saying that he was ready to have his family throwing batteries at him or something like that.
I got to get ready for Philadelphia. Got to get ready.
Got to be ready. Got to be tough.
Dad, dress like Santa, and we're going to throw batteries at you. Awesome. Okay, great.
No Santa at Macy's this year? I mean, it's wrong, man. It's wrong.
So the Eagles are facing a third and goal right now. There is a flag on the play. It could wind up putting the football on the one-yard line. We'll sort this out.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
And this is what's insane, is that they had the ball first and goal on the 3, but they get a face mask penalty. So this touchdown pass to Boston Scott comes from the 20-yard line. On third and goal from the 20, the Giants give up a touchdown pass. Giants football, this is Thursday night, man. I'll tell you what. Still, though, 40 seconds left for Daniel Jones, as they're going to have time left, and the Eagles are going to wind up going for two here to try to push the lead out to 3. So the Giants still are going to have 30-some-odd seconds, depending on where the kickoff ends up, to try to come back and potentially force overtime. Or will we see this end because the Eagles still have the two-point conversion coming?
Wow. What a throw and catch, Boston Scott. And right now, all of those columns that were being written to rip Carson Wentz and Doug Peterson, they're starting to get erased. You know, where you hold it over the delete button, but you're only going a character at a time because you're still not sure how it ends.
Mm-hmm.
Want to keep that ready? All right, those decisions still happen, guys. Keep those paragraphs in. But this throw was absolutely money, man. Right over the shoulder of the defender and Boston Scott with a hell of a grab and a fall into the end zone, and now we go for two.
Oh, it is a terrific pass from Carson Wentz to Boston Scott. Like, he puts this on a line over his shoulder. I mean, this is tight coverage. This is as good as you could possibly expect coverage to be, and still he winds up getting it in for the touchdown. And the Eagles, now they're going to wind up going for two. They could push this out to a 24-21 lead, and Carson Wentz actually runs around and scrambles and throws the ball incomplete. However, there is a flag on the play, so we could wind up seeing another try here. Empty backfield for the Eagles. They line up everybody wide, and it looked like it was supposed to be a Carson Wentz delayed draw. However,
illegal man downfield.
There was nothing open in the middle of the field, so this wound up being an incomplete pass. So the two-point try with the illegal man downfield is no good. The Giants can now potentially win this game in the final 40 seconds with a field goal. Now, the thing is, the Giants do not have any timeouts left, so they're going to be trying to get down. Well, listen, all you got to do is have Daniel Jones run the football, right? And that's what we're going to have. Let's just have him run the football for 80 yards.
Well, he's good for 80.
That's all it is. That's all it is.
Yeah, they're showing right now a montage, including the massage gun on the leg of Graham Gano, who pulled up after a kickoff a little bit earlier, as well as the missed opportunity to Evan Engram that would have iced the game and given fantasy owners a really big play that they probably needed. Bad job by him.
So while this is going on now, there's a break in the game. We're in commercial break. What is everybody going to be talking about after this game? Well, glad you tuned in, because now we're going to tell you. Because everything that comes in this game, years from now, you'll still be watching a play from this game. Any kind of blooper show you watch, you will see it. Because this is what happened earlier in the game. Daniel Jones and the Giants have the ball at their own 10-yard line. And a phenomenal fake on a handoff by Daniel Jones. The entire Eagles team goes left. Jones keeps the football, and he is running for a touchdown. There is no Eagle defender within 10 yards of him. How did Daniel Jones not wind up in the end zone? Well, this is how.
Va por tierra otra vez, pero el engaño es con Daniel Jones. Daniel Jones se quiere ir. Se puede ir. Y se fue. No. El balón.
So that's Fox Sports Deportes on the call.
Couldn't even get the please out. Nope.
No, it was that exciting. It was just that exciting. Daniel Jones running downfield, and he just trips and falls. He starts tripping at about the 30-yard line, is able to make a few more yards before he hits the turf around the 10, and he's touched down by an Eagles player. I mean, it was, you watch it and go, oh my God, you start laughing right away. Players on the other team started laughing. Even the Giants play-by-play announcers on WFAN started laughing. Here's how they called it.
Handoff. Nope, Jones is going to keep it. Jones is going to run it. Jones across midfield. It's a foot race. Can he go all the way? Daniel Jones to the 20, and he stumbles, and he falls down at the 10.
The turf monster got him. Stumbling, rumbling, bumbling, and he falls down.
That is Giants football. All right, he's running for it, and he just, because he's running for so long, he just starts tripping and falling like a guy who's not used to running at all. And after you run like 5 or 6 feet, it's like, boy, I've been running for a little bit long here. I need to calm down. No, I'm just going to fall. No, I'm just going to hit the ground. I mean, he stumbles for, I mean, that's a 20-yard trip and fall by Daniel Jones.
Yeah.
That's 20 yards. That's like in the Friday the 13th Part 2 highlight we play all the time where the guy goes down all the steps. I mean, that's a 20-yard stumble and fall for Daniel Jones.
Well, you can't fault a good strategy, and it worked fine. They finished the drive, but you feel bad for him because, well, you didn't finish the run. 80 yards. Normally, that usually is 80T. Not so fast. And a play that will live in infamy. And now with the result of this latest play by the Giants offense, by Daniel Jones, it negates any of the good feelings that were coming out of this game.
So there it is, the Eagles, and it looks like they're going to hold on and win this game, a strip sack of Daniel Jones, and the Eagles recover, and somehow, despite playing a horrendous football game, the Eagles are going to wind up winning this game. Daniel Jones was facing a 2nd and 20, and Jones is stripped of the football. The Eagles recover. They will kneel on the ball for the final play or two of the game, and that's going to be it. The Eagles will be the team who winds up being this close to first place at 2-4-1.
Carson Wentz, 359, 2 touchdowns, 1 interception, 15 rushing yards, and a score as well.
You know, and the thing about this game is that, and this is what upsets me, because I don't have a dog in the fight in this game. Look, the Giants stink, the Eagles stink. These are teams with one win. Someone's going to win. But I look at this and I go, now, how much fun is the end of the game going to be from the Giants? I was hoping the Giants would win so Daniel Jones would be funny and he would kind of make fun of himself a little bit and do that. But now he's just going to be mad. Right, now he's just going to be mad. The Giants are going to be mad. And all the fun's going to come from the Eagles side. And the fun needs to come from the Giants side on this. Look, the game's over, and NFL Network is just showing the slow-mo of Daniel Jones running and falling.
Yeah.
And now he's just going to be salty after the game.
Yeah, I mean, you go through it, and they got dominated. Let's not confuse anything here. Philadelphia just shot themselves in the foot repeatedly over the course of the night, and red zone inefficiencies are a problem that continues, but you succeed and proceed. Hopefully Daniel Jones can still see the levity in it, but I suspect that'll be short-lived, if not by the second question. Leave me alone.
There's no way. There's no way. Look, the fact that he's running, I mean, he shows great speed. I mean, he got up to
21.
Over 21 miles an hour, which is the fastest run for a quarterback since what, like 2018?
2018.
And you're talking about guys, when you talk about athleticism, we're talking about guys like Lamar Jackson and Mahomes and all these
Josh fast Allen
quarterbacks.
And all those
Josh
guys,
Allen,
yeah.
too. And here's Daniel Jones, and he is running away from the DBs. Now, he gets incredible blocking on this because for there to be nobody near him, this was a perfect play.
Oh,
it
was a great
right?
sell. Absolutely.
You get eight Eagles players who are completely flowing to the left where they think the handoff goes to Gallman. And instead, Daniel Jones turns and runs like right off tackle, and he gets two blocks. He gets a great block from the tight end. He gets a great block from one of his wide receivers. And he's just running a straight line down the hash mark on the right side of the field. No one's catching him. No DBs are getting even close to him. There's one DB that's kind of getting close, but I shouldn't say close. It's kind of in the same area, but he's not going to run Daniel Jones down before he gets into the end zone. And it's going to be, this is a touchdown. This is it. This is a perfect play. And Daniel Jones is running like a guy. And I go back to this, like if you go to a family reunion and you have the family softball game, let's just say, oh, everybody's going to play. And oh, look, Uncle Pete's going to play. Oh, that's going to be cool. Uncle Pete's going to play. And Uncle Pete swings and gets a base hit and hits the ball into the outfield. And Uncle Pete, as you know, is 60. And he runs down the first baseline and he rounds first. He's thinking about running for second and he just falls down because, you know, when you're in your 60s, you don't run that often. And after you've run like 10 or 12 strides, you're like, oh, I'm out of control now. I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know what I'm doing. I'm just going to fall. And boom, he hits the ground and just face plants. He looked like the older relative at the family reunion that didn't know how to run.
I like that. That's a good analogy. You know what? If he'd gone serpentine, maybe he wouldn't have been thinking about the run.
No,
because he just went straight up, like we're trying to advise for Tua Tagovailoa when he gets to face Aaron Donald in Week 8. Same idea here. Maybe his brain would have allowed him to not think about what's gaining on him, mm-hmm. what may be ready to tackle him, or how damn tired he was at the end of that run.
Oh, my goodness. Daniel Jones, he's
see
never
the eyes rolling
down.
Up into his head.
I mean, really, just think about it, Mike. I'm not over, and I don't want to say this is going to erase the butt fumble because the butt fumble is just as a place in everybody's
no,
mind.
It's
never going to go anywhere.
But we all have a warm spot in our heart for that.
This is the best football folly since the butt fumble. Because this is going to be one of those stories where there's going to be 1, 3, and 5 year anniversaries where sports writers are going to call up and go, "Hey, I'm doing a 5 year anniversary of the Daniel Jones, the Danny Dives," because that's one of our
that's pretty good.
Listeners
I like
called
that one,
it.
Yeah.
So I'll call it Danny Dives. Hey, we're doing a 5 year anniversary of the Danny Dives play. So hey, we're hoping we can get your thoughts on it. It's going to be players who are on the field. I was blocking on the play, and they'll talk to Daniel Jones. Oh, you want to call me about that play again? Okay, and it's going to live forever because it's just one of those plays where you see it and you just laugh because he's just running and he just falls down and you can't get over it. The fact that everybody is laughing as it's happening, you know, the play-by-play guys are laughing. His teammates are watching it and they're watching the replay and they're laughing that Daniel Jones fell off.
Yeah, looking up at the Jumbotron and having a good laugh on the sideline.
I mean, everybody
Look, that's the way to kick off Week 7 though, baby.
This play will live forever.
Yeah, and a one-point game with a fantastic finish. What else could you have wanted?
Twitter at How About a Fresca, Mike at Swollen Dome, the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon. A quick reminder, when a train hits a vehicle at a railway crossing, the results are often deadly. Be cautious at crossings, and if the signals are going, don't be tempted to try and sneak across the tracks, even if you don't see a train stop, because trains can't. Brought to you by NHTSA. Coming up, we'll have more on this game, because everybody who has criticized Carson Wentz for being so bad, you got to put it away, and you got to realize that Carson Wentz isn't bad. It's what's going on around him. This is one of those cases where too much blame falls on the quarterback. That, and I'm sure we'll play the Daniel Jones play again.
I'm sure.
So tune in just for that. That's coming up next right here on Fox.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend Mike Harmon. Live from the Geico Studios, we got Jay Glazer coming up in about 10 minutes. Going to break down everything we saw tonight between the Eagles and the Giants, including the falling down of Daniel Jones on what would have been a sure touchdown run.
Yeah. They still finished the drive, though.
They did.
So
they
we
did.
Can all, you know, in terms of the mocking of him, it only goes so far.
Yeah, no, you're right. It did. I mean, they did finish, but, I mean, still, it happened.
No,
so,
I mean, it's, you know. I mean, Patrick Mahomes going, I couldn't even have run that far.
No, oh, no. Yeah, well, no, I think Mahomes would have found a way. Or he would have just run around and said, oh, hey, here you go. I'm just going to throw it long to Tyreek or somebody else.
Done a bunch of those loops and then finally just heaved a 60-yard bomb. I could see that.
Yeah. Maybe before the game, because it was Halloween, he was watching an inspirational movie and he was watching one of the Halloween movies where, you know, a teenager is running away from the killer and keeps falling in the woods. And I keep, for some reason, I just can't, I'm not wearing the right shoes. I just can't stay up and I just keep falling down. I don't know what it is, but I keep getting up and running and, oh, I sprained my ankle and now it's a pot. And maybe that's what he did. And he thought, you know what? This is inspiring me to go out and run and fall down.
Legit, man. We could do a little Photoshop work and take a couple of those stills with the eyes looking back. And it's straight out of a horror film. Insert any of your classic movie villains right there.
Let's hear the play in question, which should have been a 90-yard touchdown run from Daniel Jones, but instead turned into 80 yards and a falling down.
Handoff. Nope, Jones is going to keep it. Jones is going to run it. Jones across midfield. It's a foot race. Can he go all the way? Daniel Jones to the 20, and he stumbles, and he falls down at the 10.
The turf monster got him. Stumbling, rumbling, bumbling. And he falls down.
WFAN on the call. And, yeah, that's Giants Radio Network on the call there. And clearly this was a case of Daniel Jones just running for too long. All right, now we know
running
how
from
long
your life from Shia LaBeouf.
How long he can run without falling down.
But your leg. Oh, it's caught in a bear trap.
I mean, he runs so much.
The Fox 11 sports wrap is coming up. They're going to preview a bunch of Dodgers game 3. What do they start with? Here's Daniel Jones.
Just the fact
that might be the cold open for Saturday Night Live on Saturday.
Oh, no. Come on. They're going to do something from the debate tonight.
I know. I was trying to get you away from that.
Something with mute buttons. I mean, no, that's what it's going to be. It's going to be all mute buttons and debate. I mean, that's
tonight. I've had enough of the I don't even find that stuff funny anymore, but that's just me.
Wow, look at you. Wow. Okay.
Just call it what it is.
Look at you, Killjoy.
It's played and it's tired. I'd rather watch the man stumbling to his demise at the 8-yard line.
Okay. I thought for a second you were going to say, I'd rather watch the Mandalorian. And I would say, you only have to wait another week for
no,
that.
No, I know. I only have another week until week. That. So yeah, I've got to go back and revisit season 1. I mean, there's no question. Line up all my Baby Yoda merchandise.
Sure. You get that Baby Yoda merch. So while Daniel Jones will clearly be a big part of the conversation going forward, Carson Wentz also needs to be a big part of it because the much maligned Carson Wentz, who everybody wants out of Philadelphia, and Carson Wentz stinks, and he's the next quarterback that everybody hates. And what happened tonight? Did he have a few bad plays? Yes, but in the end, he leads them down for a game-winning score, and he throws a beautiful pass for a touchdown that winds up being the game-winning score. It's not that Carson Wentz is bad. It's not that he stinks. It's that when you draft a guy number 2 overall, you think he's going to be a superstar of the Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady variety. And that's no matter who you put out there, he's supposed to be good. But kind of like Baker Mayfield, the Eagles have found out, okay, he's not that quarterback. Now, when you have a lot of weapons around you, you can be really good. And that's what Wentz was. But his weapons have not been this good since 2017, which they were deep and they won the Super Bowl. Now there's barely any guys he can throw to. And what do you expect from the guy? He's not that next level quarterback. He's good if you have weapons around him. But so are a lot of guys in the NFL. But it's not like the guy stinks.
Yeah, I got to go and look at what their draft assets are for 2021 to see if they're not a player here since you have so many guys on injury. Look, they're hoping to get Ertz and Goddard back after week 10. That's great. They got to figure out how to cobble together a full offensive line. If they can do that, they get 5 guys playing together, figure out what's wrong with Lane Johnson, get Peters back, they're suddenly a threat in the NFC.
Twitter at How About a Fresca. Mike at Swollen Dome. The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon. Jay Glazer coming up next. Keep it here, Fox.